Tánaiste, Prime Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, good morning to you.
Sounds like a busy show.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you were in Belfast last night to meet with the new Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Julian Smith, and I know you'd spoken to the British Brexit Secretary, Steve Barclay. But going by the front page of today's Irish Times, you certainly did not discuss the details of how border checks can be avoided, because Pat Leahy is reporting that the government's refusing to engage with London in discussions with the UK about no-deal preparations, including in how to avoid checks on the border, even though the UK apparently wants to talk. So just to clear it up, why have you and your officials declined to discuss the management of no deal? And is it true?
Well, first of all, I'm not quite sure where Pat's coming from with that story, but I mean, let me just be clear. I mean, we are not in the business of a no deal deal with the UK. First of all, we can't do that bilaterally. This is a negotiation between the UK and the EU collectively. There has been a lot of discussion over the last 2.5 years on contingency planning for a no deal to allow flights, for example, from the UK into the EU on a point-to-point basis to allow for the UK land bridge to continue to function, to get product to and from Ireland.
But we're 10 weeks away at the moment.
But you've made a statement.
I know, but is it still your position that there can be no discussions with the UK on how to manage a no deal until after they leave?
No, what we're not doing. We've already put significant contingency in place. We have a common travel area which allows Irish people to continue to travel, work, study, access healthcare, and all the things that we do today in the UK, and British people to do the same here. So there's a lot of contingency in place. But what we are not going to do is to ignore the commitments that the British government have made over the last 2.5 years in negotiation, commitments that they've put in writing.
But all that has changed, as you and I know.
But just let me finish the point. To drop all of those commitments and to now say, well, look, that's too difficult for us to get through our parliament, so now we just want to try and do a side deal on a managed no deal. That isn't the way this is going to work.
Really? But that's not the way Boris Johnson is thinking.
Well, maybe so. But
that's the reality.
No, but if Boris Johnson's thinking doesn't change somewhat, we're heading for a no deal. We know that.
So shouldn't we prepare for that?
We are preparing for it.
With the UK,
But we don't have a partner in the British government. We already have, even in the last 48 hours, we have a letter from the British Prime Minister to the EU saying that they no longer accept that they have the commitments that they made in December 2017, which were serious commitments in terms of protecting the Good Friday Agreement, guaranteeing there would be no hard border infrastructure on the island of Ireland. If all else fails, they committed to regulatory alignment as a way of preventing border infrastructure.
But all that has now changed, Tánaiste. Let me back in there for a moment.
No, but
and
sorry,
you're the first person
with
to
respect,
point out...
I don't think it's your job to do the selling for Boris Johnson.
No, but it is my job to ask how prepared this government is
and
if
we
there
are
is
prepared,
a no-deal Brexit.
But our preparation in the context of a no-deal has to be with the EU, because we are an EU member state. We're going to stay as an EU member state. We're going to stay in the customs union and single market. And we have to work with our EU partners in the context of a contingency plan if we don't have a partner in the British government that is going to follow through on the commitments that they've already made.
But let me come back in there, because I do need to ask a question. You're the first person to point out, Tánaiste, this isn't some political game. We're talking about people's lives, as we saw in Fermanagh on Monday. That could be in a very literal sense. But what's your rationale for refusing to talk to the UK about details for no deal?
So we're not refusing to talk to the UK on anything. You know, in the last number of days, I've spoken to Dominic Raab. I've spoken to Julian Smith last night for a number of hours. I spoke to Steve Barclay yesterday for half an hour. And I'll be meeting, in all likelihood, Steve Barclay in Copenhagen tomorrow. So we are speaking to our British counterparts. Of course we are.
But not about no deal preparations, how that would work, how the border would work. And I've explained why.
Because we cannot get into a bilateral discussion on how an EU border will function in the future without the EU input on that.
But is and that we are folly not, for we, us since we are not so in the business, directly involved?
We are not in the business of facilitating the UK effectively moving away from commitments that they've made to Ireland and the EU to protect the Good Friday Agreement, to protect an all-Ireland economy, which is a commitment that they have made, and to replace that with some sort of makeshift deal in the weeks before a no deal. That isn't what we're going to do. Instead, what we have been doing for over a year now is we have been planning for contingency in the context of a no-deal Brexit should that happen. And when you put a contingency in place, you do that with partners that you know and understand fully and can trust on the EU side. We also have done a lot with the UK, particularly around the common travel area, which has been really positive.
Okay, let me come back in there. Irish citizens, I mean, you said yesterday speculating on this would not be helpful. You left it at that. But I put it to you that we are not speculating about some faraway possibility now. We're talking about 10 weeks away. And when you look at Project Yellowhammer, they spelled out, they knew the analysis of what might happen in the United Kingdom and in Northern Ireland. But do we have that analysis?
Of course we have.
Where is it?
And we've published it, Mary. I don't know whether you were listening when I was outlining the latest contingency plan document in July, but I spent the day on media explaining to people just how ugly and difficult it would be on this island if there's a no-deal Brexit. And we went into a lot of detail on that. We have published dozens of documents and assessments of the impact of a no deal. The summary economic statement published by Pascal Donoghue outlined that a no deal Brexit would probably have a net impact on the Irish government balance of about €6 billion a year. So we have a lot of detail.
But you constantly refuse to give any detail about how a border might actually operate. And it's becoming almost farcical at this stage, 10 weeks away, that you can still be saying, you're not going to envisage a border when the PM across the border quite clearly is envisaging a border.
Sorry, I think it's important that you don't paint something that's not true.
How is that not true?
I have spoken about border infrastructure repeatedly. What I haven't done is given all the details of a plan until it's agreed with the European Commission. But what I have clearly said is that Ireland will need to act with the EU to ensure that we protect our place in the EU single market. Otherwise, Ireland will get dragged out of the single market by Britain leaving the EU with a no deal. We cannot and will not allow that. That means,
but how will you stop that?
That means that there will need to be checks somewhere.
Yeah,
I've made that very clear. We're working out with the European Commission at the moment, and we'll have to conclude that in the next few weeks. No, just let me finish, because this is important. Because people like to create the impression that we're hiding something from somebody. We are not. What we are doing is we're trying to work out with the twin objective with the EU Commission of how we protect Ireland's place in the EU single market and at the same time how we protect a peace process and relationships on this island.
But what you're not doing is discussing with the UK how a no deal will work. Look, and how the board works. Look,
the UK are very clear how a no deal will work. No matter how many times you ask the same question, Miriam, we are not going to do a side deal with the UK on a managed no deal. We can't, because the Irish border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland is also the EU border. And many things in our economy function on the basis of EU rules and regulations. And so much of the commentary in London simply doesn't seem to understand that. People who claim that there can be some side deal between Britain and Ireland that can solve the border issues don't understand how international trade works.
I was watching Elmer Brock, and I just
need to be honest with people on
that. On last night's BBC News, is there a danger that we become pawns in the EU's decisions? Because he gave the distinct impression, Elmer Brock, last night, that the backstop is really to protect the single market, to punish the Brits, and not about our peace process.
Well, Elmer Brock isn't a decision maker on Brexit.
I know,
with respect,
the way he was thinking.
You know, Michel Barnier is, and his task force is, Donald Tusk is, and Jean-Claude Juncker is, and they have all been absolutely crystal clear and consistent with the Irish position that we want a deal here, we want a deal that's fair to the UK, we want a deal that allows frictionless trade to happen in the future between the UK and the EU and Ireland, and we must protect a peace process and the absence
and
of physical border infrastructure, which is
and
part
people,
of that.
Everyone wants to know, especially even our listeners yesterday, they were all texting in about what would the border look like. Let's just remind ourselves what the Taoiseach said back on January the 25th when he was asked about this at Davos. A Bloomberg interviewer asked him simply, what would the border look like after a no-deal Brexit?
It would involve customs posts, it would involve people in uniform, and it may involve the need, for example, for cameras, physical infrastructure, possibly, you know, police presence or army presence to back it up.
So listeners in Davos get a straight answer to that question, but our listeners here aren't getting from government the same straight answer from you, what the border will look like.
Miriam, I'm not quite sure what the agenda is this morning for you here, but we're not trying to hide anything. The Taoiseach clarified those comments after those particular comments were made, and you know that. We have been honest with people that if you don't base a border solution on regulatory alignment, then you are looking at checks somewhere. And what we are working out with the European Commission is how we fulfil our dual responsibility towards a peace process on one hand, an absence of physical border infrastructure on the border, and at the same time protecting Ireland's place in the EU single market through Brexit, how we do that most effectively. That will not be as good a solution as the backstop. We know that. It'll be suboptimal to that. It will impact on the free movement of goods on this island in a significant way, because they'll have to be checked somewhere. There'll have to be tariffs also implemented on much of that trade on those products. We know that. So what we're trying to do is limit the damage of that as best we can, to try to manage security risk that comes with that. No, just because you've asked the question repeatedly, and I want to be very straight with people here, because I've spent a lot of my time trying to put this plan in place. And when it's ready, I will be on probably
what
your show and others. The plan will effectively be to put limited checks in place to ensure that we can reassure our EU partners that goods that travel from this island and from the Republic of Ireland to the rest of the EU respect single market rules. And the only way we can do that is if we have checks somewhere. And so people who are advocating for magic alternative arrangement solutions through technology and cameras and scanning systems, I think that their arguments have not stood up to scrutiny.
It's obviously difficult to predict what's going to happen within the next 10 weeks in the UK, but let's just listen now to a short clip. It was the Tory MP Ed Vasey, who was speaking to the BBC Radio 4's Today show this morning. This is what he had to say about Boris Johnson's tactics for the next 10 weeks and the current chance of the withdrawal agreement being passed by the British Parliament.
I can see what Boris Johnson's plan is, and I can see a logic to it, which is this Parliament shows no sign of ever voting for any withdrawal agreement. If Moses came down from the mountain with a withdrawal agreement carved on tablets of stone, I still think this Parliament would vote against it. So Boris's logic is, therefore, you are left with no deal, and the only way a parliamentary majority will ever come about is probably after Britain has left the European Union.
So, Tánaiste, you and other representatives of the government, keep extolling the virtues of this withdrawal agreement, and you keep saying it will not be renegotiated. But as Ed Vasey said there, even if you were the almighty Simon Coveney delivering this deal on stone tablets, it's not going to happen.
But sure, that's not the British Prime Minister's strategy. Certainly it's not the strategy that he outlined to the Taoiseach and that he's been outlining publicly in his letter. He said he wants a deal based on the withdrawal agreement, but he wants to remove the backstop or replace it with something else. So, you know, don't take the commentary of one politician in the UK and then, you know, present that as the facts. It isn't. I mean, my understanding from speaking to all of the senior ministers in the UK that are involved in trying to find a way forward on Brexit is that they all want to try and find a way of getting a deal done. They are honest about the fact that they think selling the backstop as part of a withdrawal agreement in the House of Commons is very difficult. And therefore they want it gone. But, you know, our position is to protect Irish interests.
Of course.
And also to ensure that we hold the UK to the commitments that they have already made in this process.
But you have to be realist as well about it.
Well, yes.
I mean, you can say you want to hold them to it, but the PM can change his mind.
But sure, on that basis, Boris Johnson calls all the shots.
If we take
your approach to this, that because Boris Johnson says no way, well, then we all have to change.
Could we compromise a little?
No, there is a consequence to the approach that the British government are taking. And that consequence is that they are making a no deal far more likely. There is a reason why Boris Johnson is visiting Berlin today and Paris tomorrow to talk to other EU leaders about trying to find a way forward. I think he will get a very consistent message from EU leaders, that the negotiations of the last 2 to 3 years are not going to be abandoned now. We will try to find a way to give the reassurance and clarification that, that Boris Johnson needs to sell a deal. Of course we will, and we'll try to be imaginative on that and be helpful on that.
But
and
we
that's
must
why we're
be
talking.
Also
but
realistic. Can I just come back in a minute?
But
we, our government must be accepting that it's a no deal.
But we are not going to abandon a solution that we know works for some kind of promise on the basis of trust that we'll all work together to try and find a solution and muddle on in the future to solve the border. If we do that, Miriam, what we will be doing is we will be creating collateral damage here in Ireland to solve a problem in Westminster. And for the next number of years, the border issue will dominate Irish politics north and south because we haven't resolved it in the way
that we
know we can.
Okay, but let me come back in there. But if we end up with a no-deal Brexit, which would you accept is looking increasingly likely? That's a yes or a no?
Oh, no, I mean, it's certainly much more likely now than it's been at any time in the past.
Right, we are the country most likely to suffer the most. So is it possible?
Well,
we got a Good Friday Agreement
the most,
in the past to compromise. Is there a possibility of any compromise? And therefore, should our civil servants not be trying to do that right now with UK civil servants instead of not speaking at all until we crash out?
Sorry, we are speaking. I've just outlined to you all the meetings I've had and the meetings I'll continue to have in the days to come. So please stop presenting this as Ireland not speaking to the UK. The opposite is happening. Of course we're talking to the UK, but we are also outlining the reality to them that we cannot do some kind of side deal here on a bilateral basis.
But you're
that
not talking to them about what might happen if there's a no
in
deal.
In the context of trade and border management, when virtually all of the trade issues are determined by EU regulation and law, this has to be an agreement between the UK and the EU, whether people like that uncomfortable reality or not. That is where we are. But of course we're talking to the UK on a bilateral basis on how we can find a way forward, and we'll continue to do that. Nobody wants to avoid a no deal more than I do. And certainly nobody wants to see a deterioration in relationships between Britain and Ireland more than I do. I mean, I am a product of Anglo-Irish relations. I've been to university in England. I've worked in the UK. A lot of my family have been shaped by Britain. So you know, we are in the business of getting a deal done here, but we are not in the business of essentially being steamrolled at the end of this process because a British Prime Minister lays out new red lines that are totally contrary to commitments that the UK have made over the last 2 to 3 years.
Red lines
that is
now
not
exist.
A reasonable approach, and we can't accommodate it.
But we need to perhaps also think about ourselves here, which is, I know what you do as Taoiseach.
That's
but
my
if
job, to protect Irish people in Ireland.
The best boy in the EU class at the risk of ruining all future relationships with the UK, is that a very high risk strategy? And therefore, is there any kind of compromise?
We're not, you know, you shouldn't characterise this as being the best boy and being somehow anti-British, which is what you seem to be suggesting. We are the opposite to that. We are trying to ensure that we manage the relationships on this island in a way that is consistent with our responsibilities under the Good Friday Agreement, and we are trying to ensure that the UK government does the same. We are trying to ensure that we have a trading relationship between Britain and Ireland in the future that protects relationships. And, you know, Ireland is a confident young country now that expects to negotiate on an equal basis with the UK, despite the differences in scale and size of our economies. And we have been doing that through this process. I have been always respectful of the British position. We have reshaped and changed the backstop and how it was designed.
Do you ever regret the backstop? Because now we might be in the worst case scenario.
Quite the opposite. If we didn't have the backstop now, we wouldn't have truthful answers to how we can comprehensively solve the border challenge. And, you know, we will continue to advocate for what we know works. The withdrawal agreement has a facilitation in it for multiple review mechanisms. If there are alternative arrangements that actually work, that can replace the backstop, well, then we can replace the backstop.
But the UK,
we know that,
is saying, and the British Parliament has rejected it three times because of the backstop. I mean, it's almost la-la land. They are not going to go for the withdrawal agreement if the backstop remains in it.
Well, first of all, I mean, there's a number of assumptions there. There's a majority in the British Parliament also that have been very clear that they will reject a no deal, as well as a majority that have rejected a backstop. So the British Parliament will have to make choices And we obviously want to try and make it as easy for them as possible to make sensible choices that work. But as I've said before, we cannot pretend here that there are solutions that don't stack up. And if there are alternative arrangements in the future that work, that solve the border question, well, then we will welcome them and we'll accept them as an alternative to the backstop. But they don't exist at the moment. And that is why I need to be honest with people, both in Britain and Ireland, and in particular people who are living in border counties north and south.
On another topic, quickly before I let you go, another one of huge importance to many of our listeners, the Oireachtas Communications Committee yesterday delivered its report on the National Broadband Plan and recommended that the broadband network remain in public ownership and conduct a new cost-benefit analysis of the plan. Will the government be following those recommendations?
Well, look, I mean, the government will certainly look at those recommendations, but I think they need to consider them carefully. You know, this is a complex and huge project to extend high-speed broadband to every house and business in the country, regardless of where they live. We are committed to that. We believe that in time that will be seen as the right thing to do, just like, you know, extending electricity and telephones to people's homes was. And we think that it's more than justified for the state to subsidise that, which is what we're doing. You know, if we're going to avoid an urban-rural divide on the basis of broadband speeds, well, then we need to invest, and we need to invest now.
Finally,
but of course, we will look seriously at what the committee has recommended, and I'm sure the government will make a decision in due course.
Another major problem for your government, it emerged this morning in the Irish Examiner, that the Public Expenditure Minister, Pascal Donoghue, was briefed on an interim report of an investigation by the Data Protection Commissioner into the Public Services Card 1 year ago. There have to be serious questions for this government and this cabinet over why that project was allowed to stagger on and on and on until you were finally told, stop, you're acting illegally. Did you have any concerns about this card? Did you raise any of these concerns? And would you like Pascal Donoghue to explain why he didn't sound the alarm bells a year ago?
Look, I mean, I haven't read that story, so I don't want to, you know, comment in detail on a story I haven't read yet. But, you know, clearly there have been there is a need for the government to adapt its approach in relation to the card now that the Data Commissioner has made the recommendations that she has.
Are there legitimate questions to be asked, finally, about the judgment, I suppose, of the heart of this government from that card, the public services card to broadband, to the cost of the National Children's Hospital, to the co-living debacle? It's not exactly reassuring as we head towards a Brexit disaster.
I'm not quite sure what you mean by that. I don't think there's any connection between Brexit and the National Children's Hospital or Brexit and the National Broadband Plan,
it's
quite frankly.
It's trust in this government to get us through these very choppy
waters.
Yeah,
no, well, I mean, you know, remember where this country was a decade ago. And if you look at the party whose policies have, with other parties in government at different times, I accept, but the party whose policies have dramatically changed this country for the better through a very, very dark and difficult period economically and socially has been my political party. We're proud of that. Yes, we've made some mistakes. And I would like to think that when mistakes are made, hands are put up, we learn lessons from that and make sure that it's taken on board. But Ireland today is a much better place than we were 10 years ago. And I think people shouldn't forget that.
Tánaiste Seán Mac Covenaí, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy schedule to come into us this morning. We'll take a break.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.